Well, good morning. Magandang umaga and namaste and buenos dias. It's great to have you all here this day. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, a time to be together and to give thanks to God for the gifts we have been given from creation to our family, but also to the love that we're offered in Jesus Christ. Secondly, let me say Merry Christmas. Are you unsure? Merry Christmas. Man, you're still unsure. Man, he's like, Thanksgiving, Christmas, what's he doing? Usually it's not till Christmas Eve he says that, right? But I think it's okay now, Merry Christmas. I mean, everybody else has been saying it for months, haven't they? Since September, they were ringing the bells and all kinds of stuff in the store. So, you know, Merry Christmas, it's a good thing to do. We celebrate in the church, call this the Advent season, the Advent of Christmas to come. But it really is Christmas season, the time of preparing for the birth of Christ. And so it's good to say, it's good to know, it's good to do, because it's our season. Did you know it's not theirs? It's ours. Did you know that? I mean, they've had stuff up for a long time, but it's the church's season. It's Christians' season. It's who we are. And so it's good to say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Nothing wrong with either one of those. A number of you have heard me a couple years say, you know, there's people on TV and radio will say how Christmas, you know, you're supposed to say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. And how they say people are trying to steal Christmas, you know, and we all say Merry Christmas. I think both are okay to say, and I think people just try to get a rise out of us so we watch them on TV or listen to them on radio. Because that idea of stealing or taking Christmas, you know, who can take Christmas from you? Who can take what God has done away from you? Just because a store doesn't say Merry Christmas, or just because we don't say it certain times, we say Happy Holidays, is that going to ruin your Christmas? And you think God's going to be really upset by that? I will tell you this. There is somebody that can steal your Christmas. Do you know who it is? Who is that? It's you. It's not somebody saying thing at the store. It's not somebody talking on TV. It is you. You can steal your Christmas. You cannot take this season serious and not experience what God wants us to have. It's like Christmas morning. You know, as a child, you remember, you know, you went to sleep at night and you knew something was coming under the tree. Do you remember those days? Some of you remember them really well, don't you? You remember there's going to be something under the tree, and you get there, and there's a package like you would not believe. It's in the shape of what you want. It's bigger than what you thought. You can't wait to open it. So you go to that tree and you say, well, I'm not going to open it. When we don't take the birth of Jesus serious, we are offered a gift of love and grace. It's like saying, here's the gift, but no, we really don't want to open it. We can steal Christmas from ourselves. That's the only person that can do it. And when we dare to take this season serious, the kind of gifts God offers us in Jesus Christ can be amazing. And so let me ask this in another way. And let's see if anybody gets the answer right. Who's the reason for the season? Can I hear it from this side? Who's the reason for the season? 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 No! Man. 10 years. I've been here 10 years and you keep saying, well, what's his name? Jesus isn't the reason for the season. Jesus, let me say it clearly, and I know you're saying, what? You know, come to me again. What are you saying? Jesus is not the reason for this season. Do you think God sent His Son Jesus just so all of us could say, you know, we say Jesus is the reason for the season. He is our Lord. Do you think we have this season just so we say Jesus is Lord? Do you think we have this season just so we can say, you know, Jesus, you the man? And then we can go home now because we know He's Lord. He's the reason for the season. We say He's the reason for the season. We say He be the man, right? We say He's the one. But then, if He's the reason for the season, let's just say He's Lord and then skip the rest of Christmas. Let's not come to church anymore, right? My finance people are going, Pastor Bill, what did you say? The reason for the season is you. Was Jesus born for Jesus? Was he born for himself? Jesus was born for you. And if we say Jesus is the reason for the season, we can sing the right songs, we can say the right things, and maybe we can even do the right things. But if we don't take serious, the reason for the season is for God's love and Jesus Christ to touch your hearts. It's about you. You are the reason for this season. Jesus knows he's loved. Do you? Jesus knows there's hope and grace and possibility to live in that. Do you? We are the reason for this season. We were sent a son so that we know we belong in the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Because that's so hard to get sometimes. You are the reason for the season, and God loves you. To know you are loved and you belong and you can live in the ways of love and grace and justice as God has asked us to do. And when we do that, the present is open and we live an amazing life. It's about knowing we belong because Christ came. Now, some of you, do you remember when you were in elementary school? Some of you may. Anybody else? What was your favorite class in elementary school? What was it? Reading? Anybody like me?
No.
Math? Lunch? He's close. Gym? Do you have gym in elementary school? Man, we missed out. Music? Recess! I mean, the other stuff was okay, but recess. We had it twice a day. Do y'all get recess now, Nick? We had recess twice a day. You only get it once? Oh, you can have gym. We had recess. That's okay. We had it twice a day. You get to school, we get off the bus, you get into school, you know, you do your stuff, whatever math or whatever we had to do, reading groups and SRA stuff. You know, some of you my age are thinking, oh my gosh, I remember that. We do all that. We did all that stuff, and then about mid-morning, 10:30, we'd watch the clock, you know. The teacher would put up the books, and we would hurry, put up our books, and we're ready to run out that door for recess. Afternoon, same way. We'd go home for lunch, we'd come back, and then about 2:30, you know, the same routine would happen. We'd be ready to hit that door to be the first in line to get out on the recess because, man, you had 15 minutes. But it was awesome. Recess was awesome. But also, it was a little stressful. You know what I mean? I mean, you had to stand in line to do things sometimes, to swing, and somebody would cut in front of you, and then you'd have a little fight. So standing in line, that would be tough. Or I remember a guy who became a friend of mine named Dan later on in my life. Him and I always went at it on recess. I don't know why. But we always fought about something. So it kind of be a little stressful. And then there was this little weird game we used to play when we were in elementary school. A friend of mine, Jimmy, came to me one day. I think it was second, maybe third grade. Who knows? He came to me and he said, "Bill, it's our day to chase the girls." Do you remember that? Come on, be honest. And then there were some days the girls chased the boys, right? Do you remember that? I mean, I remember once cornering a girl and I could have caught her, but it's like, what do you do then? So yeah, you don't catch, you just chase. But still, that was stressful, you know? And especially if there was girls' day to chase the boys, you're not about to let a girl catch you. I mean, man, that's social death, right? I mean, it was a stressful time. So, I mean, you had the stress of the chasing, you had the stress of standing in line. And the teeter-totter, do you remember the teeter-totter? Do they have it anymore? It's too dangerous, isn't it? Because, you know, it was dangerous. I mean, I love that thing to go up and down, but you get up and the guy on the other end goes off. I mean, usually it wasn't that they wanted to hurt you. It's like they saw something else they wanted to do right away and they're gone. And suddenly, boom, you came down. So it's stressful. But let me tell you, that wasn't the worst. I mean, I loved recess, but there was stress. There were two horrible words that were said at recess. And it usually happened like this. Usually one of my friends or somebody in the class, you know, somebody, he brought a football to school or basketball. But usually in the fall, he'd bring a football to school. He'd go out on the recess, he'd play things for a while, and then he'd be throwing the football around, and all the guys would gather around him because we love football. We wanted to play football. And we'd all get in a circle, and then came the two most horrible words of all the recess time ever. And they were this. Okay, Let's choose sides. Do you remember that? And so the kid with a football got to be a captain, right? And either the best football player or the most popular kid got to be the other captain. And then you all lined up on a line. You stood here like cattle. And they'd figure out who was going to choose first. Somebody choose first, somebody choose second. And what was the issue? What were we afraid of? Last. You get chose last. Now you could work it sometimes. You know, if you had a good friend that was good at football, he would get chosen first. And you say, tell Jimmy to choose me. Tell Jimmy to choose me. And you'd see that lobbying go on, wouldn't you? You know, choose Bill. Choose Bill. But you'd line up and somebody'd get chosen, somebody else get chosen, you're still standing there. Somebody get chosen, somebody else get chosen, you're still standing there. And I mean, it was like social death to be chosen last, wasn't it? I mean, you did not belong if that happened. And the worst words in the world I ever heard as a kid was, you can have Shaw. Right? You don't even get chosen. Did that happen to you? That's awful. You can have Shaw. They don't even want him. You just get him because you're one short. I'm sorry, I'm reliving that stuff. It's like, oh. It crushes kids, right? It can crush your self-esteem. It's a nail in your ego. It kills young kids. And we laugh about it now, but it's true, isn't it? It's true. If you don't get chosen, you don't belong. You're just hanging around. And sometimes, and again, I'm going to share another tragic moment in Bill's life. You get in that circle in the huddle, and you talk about who's going to go out for pass and who's going to do this. And what do they say to you if you're chosen last? Well, just go run out to the side there. They're not going to include you. You do not belong. And I'm telling you, that is an awful thing. When you feel like you do not belong. It is crushing. Christmas is here to say, to you. Because who's the reason for the season? You are. Christmas is here to say, you get chosen. We're going to light the candles and go home now. Christmas is here to say you get chosen. It doesn't matter what else. Doesn't matter if you're struggling. Doesn't matter if you lost your job. Doesn't matter if you get self-esteem issues. Doesn't matter if you had a tragic past. It doesn't matter if you're struggling with bills. It doesn't matter if your friends or your family or things aren't getting along. It doesn't matter if you're screaming at each other. It doesn't matter because you belong. And you got chosen. You are the reason for the season because you got chosen and you have a home with God in Jesus Christ. Period. Story over. Now let's see what we do with that. How do we grow with that? So often when it comes to Christmas, it is a time of belonging, isn't it? Feeling like we do belong. We love to have the image. You know, the Norman Rockwell image of Thanksgiving with a turkey. You know that one with the picture? We're all around the table. We're all at home. We're all family. There is this real sense of Christmas time that we want to be family together, that we want to be home. We want to be in a home, and we want to belong to somebody or something. There's that wonderful song that was sang in World War II, I'll be home for Christmas, right? Because a sense that we belong someplace. Even if I'm on the front line shooting at people, and people are shooting at me, I belong. I've got a home. And even if I can't be there, I know I belong. And that made it worthwhile sometimes. Because they knew they belonged. Christmas is here to tell us that we belong. Central to what this Christmas season says is we are part of God's family in Jesus Christ because He came as a child like we did. He came as a young man, a young adult like we were. He came to live and to love and to die and to share with us what God was about. And it says, we belong. In the readings today, the gospel readings today, they're very interesting, are they not? We take the season and we talk about home for Christmas. And where was Jesus home when He was born? It's hard to tell, wasn't it? Started in a barn. But think about it. The account of the birth of Christ is about people traveling. They're not places, they're traveling. The wise men traveled to see Jesus. The shepherds traveled from the field to see Jesus. Mary finds out she's pregnant, and does she hunker down and find a midwife at St. Alexis Hospital? What does she do? She travels to see Elizabeth, her relative. She goes there. She's on the move. And I can only imagine what Joseph thought. What are you doing? When it's time for them to have a birth. You know, the emperor says you've got to travel someplace so you can pay taxes. Imagine that, folks. You know, we complain now. They had to travel to be registered so they could pay taxes. They couldn't even be born there. He was born in a barn. After he was born, he was threatened by a king. And where did he travel to? Egypt. And then he finally traveled to Nazareth. They're on the road all the time. But do you think Jesus ever felt like he didn't have a home? Do you think Mary and Joseph ever felt like they didn't belong to God? Because they didn't have a place? They weren't with their friends? They weren't with their family? Do you think they didn't feel that? And I'm guessing they walked with God every step of the way. And it had to be a wonderful, if difficult, a wonderful, awesome time for them. Because they knew they belonged. They knew they were loved. They knew it was about them. Because you are the reason for this season. Many of you know an author named Studs Terkel. You ever hear of him? Chicago author. I love to read his stuff. He told a story once. Let's check and see if I got the time. He told us, or I wouldn't even tell this story. He told a story once about getting on a subway in Chicago. And he said, you know, it was right before he died. He talked about getting on, and then a guy next to him had a phone that went off. You know, it buzzed. Some other guy was beeping and buzzing. What are the games you guys play? Yes. What, Daniel, what do you play? What's that thing? One of those things. It's going to be a rough day. When you can't even get help from your son, you know you're in trouble. Something else was beeping. You know, all this mechanical stuff was going off, and suddenly a baby cried. You know, just screamed. And Studs Terkel, I'm guessing, I never met him. I don't know if any of you had. But Studs Terkel stood up and yelled in the middle of this, you know, subway cart, "Finally a human voice. Let's celebrate the human voice." And they all looked at him weird, and he sat down. You know, so Christmas about things, you know, stuff. And I love things. I love lights on the tree. I love the green. But it's about humanity and the human voice. God coming in human form to know we belong, even if it's difficult. In one of his books called Hope Dies Last, he writes stories of a number of people he interviewed in the Chicago area. Everybody from politicians to union workers. You know, he did a lot of different kinds of stuff. Homeless folks he interviewed to ask about their life. And once he interviewed a young woman named Deidre Merriman. Mrs. Merriman was an immigrant from Ireland in her life. She's still alive and I think living in Chicago. I'm not sure. Deidre Merriman, she immigrated from Ireland with her two children. She didn't have a husband at the time. And when she got here, a problem that she had in Ireland came back full force. She was addicted to alcohol. She was a fierce alcoholic. As she lived for a while, it got so bad that her brother, who lived in Ireland, heard what was going on. Her brother traveled over here from Ireland, took her two children, because they were not being cared for, and took them back to Ireland. She lived as an addict for a number of years. And some of you know people who have lived those issues, have those struggles. She lived as an addict for a number of years. She was in and out of relationships. Till finally she was involved in a relationship with a young man who was an alcoholic himself, who also had a propensity for violence. So one night, as they were at a party, she fell over drunk and he stomped her head and broke her neck. She recouped. She recovered. I mean, she was a quadriplegic for a while, but eventually she got movement back. But after that, the only way she could walk was with a cane and difficult. But she said she still drank. She still had an alcohol problem. I mean, no place to be, no place to go. Family is gone. She doesn't belong. And finally, she said she was living in the area of St. Charles, where we all know where that's at. She was living in the area of St. Charles, and finally it came to her that she had to make a change. And she said the weirdest thing happened of all. She went to a party one night where there was free beer. And think about that. An alcoholic at a party with free beer. It's like died and gone to what they think is heaven. But she said at that point, seeing free beer, being sick and tired of being sick and tired, she decided right then she was going to quit. And so as she was living in the area with her friends from St. Charles who still drank, and she realized she needed to make a change. So she decided she was going to move back to Chicago with very little money, back to the city, and areas where she could rent were not nice areas. And her friends in St. Charles said, "Don't go back. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get killed." And she still said she needed to make the change. So she went back to Chicago, lived in a rough neighborhood. She would go to a place called an Inspiration Cafe. Has anybody heard of that? They give free breakfasts to those who are in need and a few free lunches, at least 5 breakfasts a week and lunch, free lunches. She went to, in that neighborhood, and would go to the Inspiration Cafe. But she said she was scared to death because of what her friends, who were still drinking in St. Charles, come back to us. Right? Come back here, where it was unsafe. She was living in Chicago with him. She thought, sure she was going to get hurt. Sure she was going to get killed. And so one day she says, "I was walking out with my cane, going to Inspiration Cafe. A gentleman came up to me and grabbed my bag to steal it." And she said she got so incensed and a little crazy. And she looked at him and she says, "What, are you an idiot? I'm a crippled old lady with a cane. Do you think I'd bring any money out here for you to steal?" And the guy looked at her, but then guess what happened? From out of the shops in the area, from some of the homeless men, the homeless people around, she says the homeless people came towards them. People out of the shops came towards them, and they found themselves surrounded by mostly African American, but some Anglo American there. You know, people she didn't know, people she was afraid of, and the guy who was trying to steal her bag took off and ran. And she was standing there, and one of the young men came up to her and says, one of the young men she was afraid of. She said, "Are you okay?" He said, "Are you okay? And did he hurt you? And can I help you?" And she said she was fine. But she said, do you know me? Do you know who I am?" And he says, "Yeah, you're that clean white lady with the cane. We all know you. And nobody better mess with you. And nobody better mess with you." Those who she was afraid of were watching and were caring for. Now, it does not say there was not danger and difficulty in that neighborhood, as there is in ours sometimes. But guess what's different now? She belongs. She knows she belongs. And I'm guessing that neighborhood is different for her now. After she said, "We're watching for you. Nobody better mess with you, but you're one of ours." God sent a son, Jesus, to be born as us, one of ours, and to say you belong. But it's about you, and God wants you to have a great Christmas. You know, we know with the economy the way it is, we know with wars as we have now, some of our servicemen and women, we know about issues in our world that sometimes things are difficult, that we struggle with issues. And sometimes it feels like we do not belong. It is too hard. We don't know what's coming the next day. But what if we started this Christmas by saying, "I'm going to be convinced in my heart and in my mind and in my soul that I belong this year. And whatever comes my way doesn't matter because I am part of God's family. And Jesus came for me. And I believe in all the stuff we do for Christmas. And even I love frivolous stuff. I'm not saying don't be frivolous. I love that stuff. But even in all the frivolous stuff, all the other cultural, secular stuff that we do, what if also we made a point to give some of our time and our energy and our resources to belonging in the ways of love? And thought about how we belong to God in this season of Christmas. When we make those decisions, it's like stepping up to that Christmas tree and opening the present. God says you belong and you are loved. And every one of you was chosen first, not last. God doesn't say you can have Shaw. Shaw's mine. What if we started this Christmas season with that confidence that God's love. When we hit 1225, December 25th, Christmas would not be the same. And it would be an awesome season. Let's bow. Most loving God, we thank you for this day and the many gifts that you have given us. We thank you for the season of Christmas and realize you came for us, but you didn't come for yourself. So Lord, open our hearts this day and remind us that we belong. With whatever struggle we have in our life, that you were born to us. With whatever difficulty we may be struggling with in our mind and in our heart, that you were born to us. That we might know that we have a place in your world, you know, in your ministry, but especially in your heart. All this we pray in Jesus' name.